Guys, thank you guys so much for being here. I love third service. You guys get all the greatest messages that we preach all day combined into one. And my name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel. We're going to have an amazing time today. We're going to start a new series. And I guess the name of the series is First Peter. That's a creative name, isn't it? So if you could open up your Bibles, we're going to give you a couple of announcements. Also like to acknowledge Pastor Lance's great tan. Good job, champion. All of the previously tan people would like to acknowledge your efforts. Exactly. Guys, we do have a couple of announcements for you. If you have a phone, you can go ahead and take it out if you need it for your Bible. But also, if you have not become a friend of ours on Facebook, we would love for you to be able to do that. And also, if you have never rated us on Facebook, we would love for you to do that. A lot of people go there and look and see not only what you thought and how you rated, but some of your first impressions of the church. We'd love to hear that as well. You can also follow us on Instagram as well. We're going to be beginning this new series throughout the summer. We're going through the month of June, and all of July, we're going to go through 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And some of you guys may be familiar with the Apostle Peter. He went from denying Jesus to declaring Jesus to dying for Jesus. And just to give you a little bit of a disclaimer, this message might be a little heavy for you. This might not be the message where you break out the tambourine and start dancing all over the church. This might be a little bit heavy for you because we're going to be talking about something that's not easy to talk about. We're going to be talking about persecution in the church, suffering in the church. And it's necessary for us to talk about this so that for two reasons. Number one, God can speak to us through this, but also that we can honor those who have been persecuted in times past. If it had not been for the church and people going through times and seasons of persecution, the Word of God may never have come to us today. Yeah. We may not be sitting here discussing and glorifying the Word of God and glorifying our King Jesus today. So we're going to be walking through the book of 1 Peter. You can open that up and we'll get to it in just a second. Anytime we walk through a book of the Bible, it's important for us to realize the context, the setting of that book. It's okay if you just want to open it up and read it, but it's important for us to know what was going on and what was the reason why this book was written in the first place. And the first thing we'll learn is this is not a book. It's actually a letter that was sent to churches in Asia, primarily around the nation of present-day Turkey. And so if you can take out a pen, paper if you want to. You might want to take some notes. I would encourage you to do that today. So we're looking at persecution of the believers in this book, but we're also looking at how it affects us today. Anytime I read the Bible, it's not just for historical information, but I want to know, what does God want me to get out of this? These things happened 1,900 years ago. But what does that have to do in 2017? Yeah. What does that have to do in Clarksville? What does that have to do in the Fort Campbell area? Well, we're going to discuss that today as well, because as believers today, persecution is still affecting us today. You received a map when you walked through the door. If you could take out that map, I want to do a couple of things with this map. Turn over, first of all, to the side that looks like this. The blue side, we'll call it. This is a map of the Roman Empire during the time 1 Peter was written. So you get a glimpse of this map. The Apostle Peter wrote this letter while he was in Rome, and he was sending it to the churches in Bithynia and Pontus and Galatia and all these areas right around present-day Turkey. But this is also where persecution from the church, the early church, started. this time frame of the Roman Empire was around 64 AD. This date is important to us for a specific reason. There was a great fire that happened in Rome in 64 AD, and most scholars would say that the book of 1 Peter was written right after that fire, because the emperor who was in charge, his name was Nero. Anybody heard of Nero? Not Nero's Pizza from Home Alone, but a very infamous emperor named Nero. He was recorded as being the worst emperor for Christians. It was widely known that he would pave, not really pave, but along the road to Rome, there was like light poles, but instead of lights at the top, there were Christians that were crucified at the top of these poles that went for miles to the city of Rome, and they were on fire at night so that you could find your way down this road. This was all at the hands of the emperor Nero. Many of you have probably heard of the Roman Colosseum and heard of the lions, tigers, and bears, and oh my, the creatures that they would release on the Christians for sport. Many Christians died during the reign of the emperor Nero. And I wanted to give you a snapshot of what was going on when this book was written. There was a great fire that took place in 64 AD that destroyed three huge sections of the city of Rome. Rome was the jewel of the Roman Empire, as you can imagine. And when this fire took place, some scholars say that the emperor Nero did it. He was very sadistic, that he created the fire just to build up Rome. But here's the rub, is he blamed the fire on Christians. And word of the blame of the Christians creating this fire, even though they didn't do it, spread all throughout the Roman Empire. And so harsh feelings towards Christians started to emerge in the Roman Empire. People started to blame Christians, and this is where persecution started to arise. And I wanted to let you know, if you turn over on the back sheet of that paper, the reason why this applies to us today is on the back side, you see this world map. This is where persecution exists for the Christian church today. And what you might notice is that over the last 1900 years from when 1 Peter was written, persecution of the church has multiplied. It's actually spanning the globe and growing right now, most notably in North Korea and China and all through the Middle East, where believers just like us who believe in the same Jesus, who believe in the same gospel, just by carrying a Bible in their hand could be persecuted, could be thrown in jail for their faith in Jesus Christ. In many places in the world today, if you were to declare the gospel in an open place like this, you could be decapitated. Your whole entire family could be put in jail. And we see this today. Now, in the good old USA, this is the greatest nation in the world. Wouldn't you agree? Somebody say amen. Well, you don't have that happen, but we do see an atmosphere of persecution being created. See, I'm a firm believer that outright persecution to the church in America is not really here the way we see it in other places. But what we do see in the United States of America is an atmosphere that is conducive for persecution to take place. And we see that Christian business owners are losing their businesses and being sued and fined because they're standing up for what they believe in the Bible. People are losing their jobs in the United States for standing up and saying, I believe the Word of God says this. And we see that these things are happening more and more and more. This was the environment in which 1 Peter was written. And also to let you know, even though persecution was going on, this letter was not a message to let them know the A-team was on the way to save them. Murdoch and Mr. T were not about to jump out of the van to save the believers. This was a message to endure the hardships. This was a message, the sole purpose of this letter was to show them how to live victoriously in the midst of that persecution without losing hope, without becoming bitter. See, they didn't form a militia to take over the country where they were at. No, their message from Peter in this book was to endure the hardships, to endure the persecution while still trusting in the Lord, praising God. How many of you would think that would be extremely difficult? And while waiting for his second coming. They are in a similar state that we are in today, waiting for the second coming of Christ. So we're going to look today, much of this book is written from the standpoint of something that we see in the very first verse. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. It's interesting that he uses this word to the pilgrims. Because when I think of the word pilgrim, I think of turkey and dressing and stuffing and macaroni and cheese and yeast rolls that are fully risen and pecan pie. See, in the South, we say pecan. Is that right, Pastor Ron? I don't know what y'all call it. But he's not meaning that. He's not talking about Thanksgiving and remembering the pilgrims. He's talking about people who are not from a place but are called to be in a place. He's actually talking about us. If you're beside somebody, tell them, howdy, neighbor. See, we are neighbors. We're not neighbors. I sound like Mr. Rogers. We are pilgrims, unbeknownst to us. See, a pilgrim is one who journeys to a foreign land, one who is not necessarily from the place that they're at. See, contrary to popular belief, we are not at home. This is not our home. Even though we're here, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this is not our final destination. There is something greater that we are hoping for one day to come. Regardless of how great life is here in the United States, it is more than just your home and your job and your bank account. It is more than your 401k and your insurance. It is more than going to the beach throughout the summer. It is more than the CMAs and the Stanley Cup. Yeah. We are asked in this book to live as if we are leaving one day. We're going to talk today about the fact that we are asked to live our lives if one day we are going to be leaving it for something far greater and something far more awesome. The Bible says that no eye has seen, nor ear has heard the plans that God has promised to those who love him. There is something far greater than what we can see one day. The suffering that you have will one day be over. The pain in your body that you might have will one day be over. The knuckleheads at work, all that foolishness will one day be over. Somebody say amen. God is calling us to something greater. So the first real key to living life like you are leaving is realizing that this is not your home. We can see in 1 Peter in verse 4, it says that we are going to be leaving us an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, that is reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. I want to read another verse for you in verse 17. It says, if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work. Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. The Bible is saying that this is not your final destination, but while you're here, live in fear or in reverence of God, even though persecution might be coming. See, a lot of us in today's United States, we face a different kind of persecution. It's the fear that if I respond on social media to some crazy foolishness that is against God or against Jesus Christ, I might lose a bunch of my friends on Facebook or our social media pages. Or that people may not interpret what I'm doing in the right light. Or people might say bad things about me. Or if I was to read my Bible at work, people might look at me differently. Persecution is different here, but yet it is still here. And so for a lot of us, when an opportunity to stand up for Christ comes at risk of public embarrassment, we sit down. And we are sometimes afraid to speak out and defend the faith that we hold on to. But this word of God in 1 Peter is here to encourage us not to give up faith, not to give up hope. It's really here to encourage us that when there are opportunities for us to get off the fence and stand up for our faith, that we take them. Somebody say amen. Amen. The second step of living like you're leaving is realizing who your people are. Realizing that you are not alone. You can see it actually all through the first verse of 1 Peter. He writes this letter to multiple churches in Asia. And I think he writes the names of these churches to ensure the believers that they are not alone. Can you imagine if you were the only believer in Clarksville? How discouraging would that be? That there's a city of 130 plus thousand people and you're the only one standing up for what you believe in. You're the only one who holds and clings to the gospel. How discouraging would it be when you are around them clowns at work? When you're at post and every other word is a F word. And it hurts your ears to hear the foolishness and the atheistic talk that exists in our society, the people that live and act as if there is no God, but you know there is. Imagine how discouraging it would be. Now, for me, I don't know about you. I love a good barbecue. Anybody love a good barbecue? Yeah, all right. For you who know how to barbecue, you know that the only true method of barbecuing is with charcoal. We just use gas to get by, but charcoal is where it's at. And occasionally, the charcoal falls off the pile and rolls over to the side of the grill. And you know what happens when that happens is that the charcoal grows cold when it's isolated. The heat and the intensity that was once there no longer exists when it's isolated from the rest of the coals. This is what happens to a Christian when they get isolated. You may have noticed that if your church attendance is waned and you were kind of doing life by yourself or you didn't really feel like you had a spiritual family at a time, sometimes our faith can waver and grow cold when we're not connected to a body of believers. And the Apostle Peter wants us to remember who our people are so that we don't get discouraged when the persecution comes. You know, it's easy to come to church, but sometimes we need more than church. Sometimes we need our spiritual family throughout the week. This is why we have community groups. This is why we do life together, because craziness a lot of times happens outside the church, and sometimes as soon as you walk outside the church, as soon as you go back into your neighborhood and you see your crazy neighbors, or you go to work and you see the foolishness there, and sometimes it's just enough to go through it, but sometimes we need our fellow Christian brothers and sisters to lift up our hands in prayer sometimes and say, you can get through this. You can make it through what's going on. Somebody say amen. And the Apostle Peter reminds us that we are not alone. He says in verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, we need. It is a necessity that we need the love of other believers so that we can continue to fight the good fight of faith. Because everything in this world wants to tempt you into letting go of your faith. Temptation is around every corner and tempts you to let go of holding on. Well, I didn't see Jesus working today. Maybe he's not going to come through. Maybe I need to stop believing. But when you get around other believers, you start hearing words of hope. You start hearing words of faith. They can start praying for you. I was with a guy the other day. He's going through a hard time. Things are going on in his life, but a small group of us men began to pray and encourage him. And in his heart, he was down. But once we got finished praying for him, his spirit was lifted. He began to have a new fight. His eyes started to glimmer again. He started to believe that all things are possible if I keep on believing. And this is the message that 1 Peter is sending to us today. Don't forget your people when you're going through hard times. When your body is sick, when you want to give up, hold on to the people of God to encourage you along the way. Somebody say amen. And the third thing, steps to living like you're leaving. The third one is realizing that the Word of God endures and that our hope is real. You know, one of the things for me, even as a pastor, it's easy to want to give up on my faith sometimes. I don't know how many of you have ever been through a season of your life where life just kind of hit you in a lot of different ways, and it made you second-guess God's Word. Anybody ever been there before? Made you second-guess if he's even really there. Is he really seeing me? Is he really seeing what I'm going through? Another thing that this word in 1 Peter encourages us is it reminds us that the Word of God continues to endure no matter what you're going through, no matter how hard the situation is, no matter your lack of resources, no matter the pain that you're experiencing, the Word of God is still in effect. The promises are still real in the Word of God. We're going to take a look at what it says in the Bible. In verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again." Remember, he's reading this or writing this to people who are in the midst of persecution. "To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Look at verse 6. It says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved through various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire." I don't know how many of you have ever felt like you've been going through a test and you feel like you don't know when it's going to end. He's writing these words to the church in the first century, but he's also writing it to you. It says, "May be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." He is pushing us to look beyond what we're experiencing, to look beyond what we're going through, to look and wait for the day that Jesus Christ is coming. You know, a lot of times I think we fail to look at the fact that there's something greater beyond what we can see. You know, slaves, back in the 1800s, they used to sing these things called Negro spirituals. One of the songs that they used to sing was called "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, Coming For to Carry Me." Remember that? It's like they realized that the hardships that they were going through in their present day would one day come to an end. And there would be a sweet day when there would be no more sickness, no more dying, no more death, no more foolishness, no more crazy mess going on, and that we would all be able to exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords forever and ever. Now, Pastor Ron, you can come on up. Now, one of the things that I look forward to is that the faith that I have, God honors that faith, and not giving up in God's word pays off. Sometimes we don't even know or realize, or sometimes we forget the fact that our faith, it actually is worth our time. Investing and believing in the word of God, in God's infinite knowledge, it pays off. If we don't see it in this life, we see it later on. And this is what was going on in the first century church. We see in 1 Peter, there were believers who were being persecuted in 64 AD. But what they didn't have the opportunity to see is how their faith would pay off later on. I wonder if you've ever realized how your faith in Jesus Christ and not giving up when you had ample opportunity to give up, when everything seemed like it was working against you, but yet you held on to your faith, how that influences the next generation, how that influences other people by your testimony. 260 years after 1 Peter was written, something amazing took place. Because of believers, because the word of God continued to endure, the Christians didn't get snuffed out. There wasn't a complete genocide on believers in Jesus Christ. Even though they got martyred, even though they continued to face persecution again and again and again, the gospel continued to go forward. And something amazing happened. Christianity became the official state religion of the Roman Empire 260 years later. I don't know about you, but that's encouraging to me. That the things that we suffer in this life as a result of our faith, maybe it's not beheading, praise God, in the U.S. But over your lifetime, you're going to have opportunity to stand up for what you believe. And it may cost you. It may cost you a job. For some of you, you've already experienced, it may cost some friendships. It might even cause division in your family because you hold on to your faith in Christ and others just don't believe it. They don't buy it. When people start to badmouth your God and you say, hold on, wait a minute. Don't talk about my God like that. Don't talk about my Jesus like that. It may cause people to get rubbed the wrong way. But I'm here to tell you today, holding on to your faith in Christ, standing up when others are sitting down, it will pay off dividends. If you don't see it in your life, it will pay off in a far greater way. And I'm telling you, it is a pleasure and an honor to suffer for Jesus Christ. Do I want to be persecuted? No. Do I want to die? No. But I'm telling you, you are in a long lineage of those who have stood up when others have sat down. And because of the testimony of those who stood up, we are here today. Because of the testimony of those who came before us, we can have our sins canceled out by the blood of Jesus because the gospel came to us. Where will you stand when the persecution comes? I just want to pray for you, if you could stand up. You know, over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to walk through this book of 1 Peter. Several questions are going to get answered. Like, what should be the attitude of the Christian when the secular government puts rules in place? We are faced with the thought of civil disobedience. It's going to get talked about next week. What should a Christian employee's attitude be to a hostile employer? How should a Christian lady conduct herself in this world? How can a believing wife help to win her husband when he's unsaved to Jesus Christ? A lot of serious questions are going to be answered. But I want to pray for you today as we begin walking through 1 Peter. I believe that our eyes are going to be open. That there is an increasingly difficulty in living out our faith coming to us in the United States. Where will you stand? Father, I just thank you now for the opportunity to share your word. Father, I pray that as the atmosphere for persecution comes to this country, help us to stand strong. Help us not to be weak, to sit on the fence, and to give in. But God, let us be thankful and joyous that we are allowed to suffer for the sake of Christ. As crazy and as wild and as bold as that sounds, let us rejoice with the opportunities that are coming us to stand up for you. Because you stood up for us on the cross. Let us boldly stand for you now. In Jesus' name.
When I agree with this prayer, I just pray, Lord, for every one of us in this room, that you would fill us with what Pastor Richard talked about, the ability to stand, but God, that we would stand in love. God, as a follower of Christ, Lord, we need your help, Holy Spirit, to be able to fight this good fight, but yet do this in love. And I'm going to read this over you guys. It really summarizes chapter 1 to prepare us for the rest of what's going to take place as we go throughout this book. Verse 13, he says, therefore prepare your minds for action. That's talking about the fight that we're in. And be fully sober-minded. Set your hope, and here comes the love, on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Father, I pray this over us today, that Bethel Community Church would be a great representation of you. Or not some angry, bitter, frustrated Christian that's obnoxious, that's annoying, but someone who is full of truth, but just like you, full of grace, that is loving and has the ability to stand up against opposition and fight the fight to bring you honor and glory. God, and also, Lord, as a church, we pray right now for the persecuted church around this world. Lord, we pray for brothers and sisters in Christ that are dying for the cause of Jesus. Lord, we don't necessarily pray that you would protect him from dying because, Lord, a lot of them know this is why I'm here. I'm here to die for the name of Jesus. They bring you honor by doing so. But God, I pray that their message would go forth. And just like the Roman Empire was changed because of the believers' voices, our nation, the nations of the earth, Lord, North Korea, God, the Middle East would be changed because of the persecuted church around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a big hand clap. Thank you, Pastor Richard.